Seriously, it is all Adrian's fault that this evil was released.
Warning, due to adult subject matter and strong graphic language, the Adrian Lozano Show could be deemed offensive for any and all persons. You have been warned. Now enjoy the Adrian Lozano Show.
Oh yes, here's Adrian being sexy.
Okay. Hello, this is Adrian Lozano. I'm very handsome. And let's go ahead and do this show. I've been away for a while. I've been doing other things, but none of that matters. The only thing that matters...
Ah. As a character, Adrian is stiff.
Lozano, and you just might hear some random sounds of nature. You know how nature is. You know how nature gets. Anyway, I'm here today to shake some stuff at you. Oh, what kind of stuff? I don't know. That kind of stuff, I guess. Alright. The important thing to remember is... this is the Adrian Lozano Show. Hello, folks. This is Adrian Lozano. I hope the sounds you're hearing aren't too distracting, but I just wanted to let you know something. I saw the movie Leprechaun, and I saw that movie in the theaters. That's right, the theaters. That's where I saw it, and I saw it with my mom and dad, of all people. Both my mom and dad were there, sitting behind me. You know how it is when parents are sitting behind you. I also saw Double Impact that way. That's right, Double Impact. There used to be a lot of late night movies in my life. That was also another one that I saw with my parents sitting behind me. The funny thing about that is, during the sex scene, my dad just took his leather vest off and threw it over my head, and all I did was just like move over so that way the sleeve on the vest was now my viewing area and just watch that whole sex scene. And then my dad pulled the vest off when it was done, and I was like, I saw everything, I saw it all. Anyway, the important thing is, while we were all watching Leprechauns, there's a part in the movie where Jennifer Aniston is being chased. During that part, I was so amped up. I was so fucking there. I was so into it. What did I shout? Take off your shoes! Because earlier in the movie, Leprechaun is there polishing some shoes like a fiend as soon as people throw them at him. But what I failed to realize was Jennifer, whatever the fuck her name, had on her old nose, but she also had on sneakers. Leprechaun doesn't give two fucks about polishing a sneaker. You can polish your own fucking sneakers. But leather shoes. Now, this is something that got carried into the 10th kingdom about shoes. Those fucking trolls in that fucking movie loved shoes like leprechauns. It was creepy. They had a sequence where one of the male elves was trying on ladies' shoes because they were made of leather. Fucking creepy, dude. Creepy because it's a giant fucking troll. Creepier because they were like, suck an elf, which is their, you know, term of endearment to elves. Anyway, I just want to say, this is Adrian Lozano. And I've been gone for a while, but I'm back now, so... damn. Damn right.
If you are declining coverage or wish not to be reminded again.
I'm actually calling to inform them now.
Do be careful, Adrian.
There we go. All right, let's see here. Adrian Lozano here. I've been away. I've been doing some stuff. I've been lifting weights like crazy because that's my new job. Okay, that being said, I saw Mr. Doctor Strange. How are you, Doctor Strange? Boy, isn't it strange that you're a doctor. Doctor Strange was worth seeing if you're a Sam Raimi fan. Are you a Sam Raimi fan? I'm waiting for you to tell me if you are. If you want to, you can go ahead and tell me. Leave me a voice message. Maybe I'll play it on the show. Who knows? Who cares? Moving on. I have to talk about this movie because it's fucking cool. The things that I saw in this movie. The number one thing I like to see is vagina. The second thing I like to see would be boobies. The third thing I like to see... Wait, I'm talking about something else. Okay, in a superhero movie, the first thing I want to see is a superhero killing other superheroes. I like it. You know why? Because it's what they do. I love watching superheroes fight and then one of them dies from old age. No, one of them gets killed. I learned that people don't get killed, they get killed, according to Kevin Smith. You can see a man get killed, and then there you go. All right, I've always liked Kevin Smith a lot. There's a lot of terms and things like that that I'm like, you know what, that isn't used enough. I'm bringing back killed. Just like, what was it, Porch Monkey in Clerks 2? I'm bringing it back. It's like, no. Not a thing we're doing. Porch Monkey for life. That was, oh, man. I'm looking forward to Clerks 3. I'm really looking forward to Clerks 3. Okay, that being said, I'm getting off track here. If you're a Sam Raimi fan, you will like Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. It's very Sam Raimi. It's super Sam Raimi. All the way to, like, dead bodies coming back to life Sam Raimi. Like, it's fucking dope. Full-blown spoilers. Like, if you haven't seen Doctor Strange, you know what? You don't have to. But I like to operate on this, I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen kind of thing. First and foremost, we see some characters get killed, and it's my favorite part. Watching Wanda go up against the quote-unquote Illuminati, and then you get Reed Richards setting up Black Bolt to just get just moited. It's awesome. I love it. Reed Richards comes out, and I'll talk about Reed Richards in another second, but I gotta lead with this because, oh my god, when Reed Richards says Black Bolt can destroy you with one word from his mouth or whatever, and Wanda's like, what mouth? Black Bolt's there with his no mouth, looks like he's got a nut sack that's been stretched out over his fucking lip. Crazy how scared he gets. He panics, and then he says something, and he doesn't have a mouth, so the inside of his head explodes and caves in. Let me tell you, people, that's what I think is awesome.
oh, you can use your mouth to destroy somebody. What if you didn't get one? What if we took it away? They took away his mouth, or Wanda took away his mouth, and that was it. Man, then she turned Reed Richards into string cheese. Like, turned him into spaghetti. I mean, just ripped him apart and made his head go pop. It was fantastic. Then, squares off with Maria Rambeau and Captain Carter. Crushes Maria Rambeau with a giant fucking statue. Cuts Captain Carter in half with her own shield. And then Professor X. Oh yeah. Professor X getting killed, baby. That's the shit right there. I'm just gonna go into your mind, snap your neck. Just like that. Your consciousness, the thing inside of your brain, I'm just gonna snap it. It's fucking awesome. Those are the only good parts. No, I'm just kidding. The movie's great. The movie's great if you're a Sam Raimi fan. There's a lot of Dutch angles. There's a lot of, like, there's a lot of fourth wall breaks. There's a lot of fourth wall breaks where they just, like, they just Sam Raimi it up. It's cheesy. Bruce Campbell's in it. It's, of course, Bruce Campbell. He's in everything Sam Raimi does. But, like, it's just so much more intense. This movie's a real hardcore, like, it's a great hardcore representation of how scary PG-13 can be. Because PG-13 is, it's tainted. Everybody's like, PG-13? Oh, man. That's not the way it works. That's not how it works. The best way to do it is, if you got a PG-13, you just push that edge, push that limit till you're right up against the edge. And that's what they do. I mean, I really, really, really like horror movies. I love The Evil Dead. I love Evil Dead 2. I love Army of Darkness. I love the Spider-Man, the first Spider-Man movie and the second Spider-Man movie. The third one's great in its own way, but I don't love it. I will watch it on a regular basis, though, but there's something about that movie that just screams, fuck you, to the audience, that after a while you're like, I'm good, you know? But it's also, like, it's Sam Raimi's way of, like, being like, I have to do something to keep me into this. And it's just, it's a clusterfuck. I'm getting way off topic here, which I do a lot here on the Adrian Lozano Show. Oh no, we've got a guest. Hello? Hello? Hi. Rosalind. People, let me tell you about my hoo-ha. I got a really nice hoo-ha. Oh, man. Did you know I used to do projection? I don't know if I told you this or not, but I used to do projection. It was back in, like, 2005. It was 2005. I worked at the Galaxy Movie Theater. And at the time, the Galaxy was actually undergoing a transformation, and it went from being the Galaxy and the Annex Theater to the Rialto and the Piccolo. And that was interesting, to say the least. I started off as a movie theater monkey, sweeping up popcorn and what have you. And then I made friends with one of the projectionists, and then I just did my time. I was a movie theater monkey, selling people popcorn, hitting on chicks, sweeping up popcorn that I sold to people,
getting laughed at by chicks. It was a lot of stuff. And I had a manager at the time that was pregnant. She used to let me drive her the Pontiac Firebird, I believe. I don't remember the year of the Firebird. The year of the Firebird. But it was a Pontiac, and it was it hauled ass, and it was, like, brand new. And then she would always, like, send me to, like, two or three places to go get food. She'd be like, could you go here and get a burger and then go over here and get some fries and then here and get a sandwich? And I'm like, sure, but don't get anything for anybody else. I don't want you to take long. Okay, sure. And so I'd leave my truck there, and then I would go and, you know, do stuff. And that's how you get in good with your manager. And then when it came time for them to get somebody into projection, my manager was like, this guy's great. He's great. And I was also very nice. I'm very courteous or whatever. I was very Jamie Lee Curtis to everybody. Showed him all my dick. All right, so the important thing is I finally got into projection. And you know what? It was amazing. It was better than I ever expected because I got to touch film. I actually had trailers on film. Like, it was so awesome. I got to, I used to get negatives, scratch them up myself, take shots from other movie trailers and splice them together. And I had like a 4-minute reel of just trailers that I had put together myself from old trailers that they were throwing away. They used to throw them away. I still to this day have movie trailers at my house. I think I have a House of 1,000 Corpses or whatever. One time I was letting a friend look at it. The whole reel like unspun or whatever. So it's somewhere in the house. It doesn't matter. Friends don't matter. The important thing is the first movie I ever put together myself was the movie Sin City. April 1st, 2005, that movie, man, I was so excited. I was so fucking excited that I did that myself. And then they were like, that's great. Do it again. Because, you know, it would show on multiple screens. There was a lot of movies at the time. The Kingdom of Heaven, I think. I remember us doing a Fantastic Four or a trailer for the next Fantastic Four. I can't remember. It was a lot. Madagascar. I know the movie Madagascar was at the Piccolo all the time. The Piccolo or the Annex only had 4 screens. One day, the manager Jacob, he had forgotten to, I don't know, put somebody else on the schedule because the guy was going through a divorce. It was very bitter. Also a huge Weezer fan. This is the only guy I'd show up and he'd be blasting Weezer in the fucking office until like I got there and he's like, oh, hey, turn it down. How's it going? It's like, oh, you just, you know, listening to you, quietly listening to I Want a Girl Who Will Laugh For No One Else. When she's away, or no, when I'm away, she puts her makeup on the shelf. Something like that. When I'm away, she never leaves the house. I want a girl who laughs for no one else. No one else. Oh, man. Okay, so so that day, because Jacob was going through all that shit, I was the only person on the schedule for both theaters. That had actually gone a few days. It was like a Thursday. I came in, I was like, oh, who else is coming in? Oh, looks like nobody. Holy shit, nobody. So I started, I think there's what? Gosh, there's 4 theaters in the main one, and I think there's 10 or 12 theaters in the other one. And so I got everything started. At the Piccolo, I got like 3 movies started at the main theater and then ran my ass over there, started all 4 movies at the Piccolo. 3 of them were Madagascar. I can't remember what the other one was. I really can't right now. And then, because it was like for kids. It was like, if you want to go just see exclusively kids movies, we're showing you the fuck. Like, it was also a discount not a discount, but like, yeah, it was. It was discounted because it was like when our movies left the main place, they went to the other one. Or if they were just like, you know, a limited run or a theme or something like that. Like we used to do screenings, you know what I'm saying? Anyway, there was an Indian film one time that we did a screening of, but we did that in the main movie, in the main building. And man, there were so many fucking people. The movie was like 3.5 hours long. There was an intermission. And like all these Indian people just came out of the fucking movie theater and just like attacked the, well, didn't attack, but like destroyed, well, didn't destroy. They consumed a lot of like snacks and stuff. And just the amount of chatter, I guess, talking about the movie was like almost deafening. It's like, wow, there's a lot of people and they're really excited. Okay, that being said, I loved working in projection. They told me I was going to have, Jacob specifically told me I was going to have dreams about film going through rollers. And I did. And quite soon. And so what it was you had your projector and it was connected to this, well, it wasn't connected, but it had this table next to it. And this table had 3 round tabletops, each one of them evenly spaced above the other. So it was like 3 tables in one, and on every circular part you could put a roll of film, and man, you would have to wind it really tight, super tight, and then either move the whole roll, the whole like circle, or grab the print and get somebody else to help you and then stick your arms under it and walk it over to the where it needed to be. And then we had this metal contraption in the middle of the circle of film, because that's what the movies were. They were a big circle of film. They showed up on like 6 reels, and then we would edit them all together by splicing the pieces together. Splicing them together. Because there's a cut and there's a splice. So, that being said, all that shit was so much work. I enjoyed it so much. Then I used to get high on top of the building. I had a buddy there named Sean. White guy, dreadlocks, great guy, nice guy, totally cool. I borrowed an album from him. That day I broke it. The name of the album, Spilt Milk by Jellyfish. I told him, dude, I didn't even get to listen to it. It broke. He's like, that's okay. I can't cry over spilt milk. And I was like, ha-ha! Seriously, though, I am sorry. I looked for that CD everywhere. I couldn't fucking find it. This dude used to bring joints, big fat joints. I used to fucking bring bags of weed. Not the greatest thing. Because I would also, like, take my roaches and put them in my bags of weed. And sometimes, everybody's been there. You're low on weed, but you've got roaches. You bust them open. You roll yourself a fucking joint in the restroom. Then people from the corporate office come into the restroom after you just spent 30 minutes breaking up roaches and rolling a joint, only to ask everybody if they've been smoking weed. And then they start wondering why it smells like weed. I tell them I've got wicked IBS, but nobody believes me. I also didn't smell like weed. And the other projectionists were so nice. There was a girl. There was a little piece of shit dude. I think his name was Bill. I hope that guy suffers for at least a good year. And then he has nothing but the best things happen to him. And then just dies. But the important thing is, this guy didn't have any beef with me, per se, but he just didn't like me, and I didn't like the way he looked at me, because it made me want to kick his ass. He was also the youngest projectionist. There's also a dude named Jared there that I worked with. He came in from another movie theater and worked with us, and man, that dude was cool. He introduced me to Jucifer, not literally, but like turned me on to the music of Jucifer, which I thought was great. I love Jucifer. If you haven't listened to Jucifer, check them out. They're pretty good. So the thing about getting the movie threaded up, that's the thing you had to do. You had to learn how to thread it up. Now, we had different kinds of projectors there than the Piccolo. The Piccolo had other kinds of projectors. We had 2 different kinds of projectors, 3 if you count the one in the Piccolo. They're just bigger, bulkier, the ones in the Piccolo, and the ones in the new building, some of them were more modern and some of them were older. So I learned how to, like, thread up 3 different kinds of machines. Side note, one day I went out to the Mission Drive-In just randomly drove out there. Drove out there, right? And then when I got there, it was abandoned. Like, the gate was open and everything had been fucking ransacked. So what did I do? I went up into the projection booth. I didn't have any tools on me, so I couldn't really take anything apart. I couldn't really get anything that I wanted. I wanted some memories. I wanted some keepsakes. But I couldn't get anything. Now it's all remodeled and redone and whatever, and there's other drive-in theaters. Doesn't matter. The thing that matters is that I loved being a projectionist, and I was so excited to see how the drive-in theater worked. Those fucking projectors were like tanks. They were fucking huge. That being said, I managed to do the whole day, the whole Thursday, by myself. It wasn't until a manager saw me running back up into the thing and then was like, "Hey, what's going on?" And I'm like, "I gotta go start a movie." And they were like, "Oh, okay." Goes and looks at the schedule and says, "Hey, you're the only projectionist on the schedule." And I go, "Tell me something I don't know." That's me still running. And it turned into this whole ordeal of Jacob having to be called, told what he did wrong. Then he had to figure out if he was going to call somebody in. I told him not to because I was closing. Like, I was the closer. I was closing both theaters. I said, "Don't worry about it, dude." I go, "I've got it. It's fine." I go, "I can handle it. I only have, like, a couple more screenings at the Piccolo and then the rest of it's main building. I'm fine. Like, it's not a big deal." Jacob was like, "You sure? Because I might get in trouble for this." I'm like, "Dude, tell him it's fine. Tell him, like, you gave it to me on purpose because you knew I could handle it." He's like, "Well, you're the newest guy." I'm like, "It doesn't matter. I'm great. I fucking did it." Not a single show was late. Not a single show was late. Nothing. Also, I used to put the trailer reels together. Man, everything had comic book movies. Everything. Oh, man. It was awesome. It was the greatest job I've ever had. And if I could have done that job for the rest of my life and make a good amount of money doing it, because I was making like $10 an hour. If I could have made a good amount of money doing it, that would have been great. I would have loved to have been a projectionist all the way into the digital era. Because I still worked with film all the way till I didn't work at that movie theater anymore. Like, it just, you know, man, it was crazy. It was a lot. All right, so that's my story on the time that I was a projectionist. Thank you for listening. My name's Adrian Lozano, and I'm very, very handsome. Is there anything else I want to say? Oh, the other perk about being a projectionist was getting movie posters. We had first dibs before they went out to anybody else. Like, projectionist had first dibs on the standees. Oh, man. The standees. I've worked at movie theaters before. I worked at the AMC movie theater later on in life. And I got some standees. I got a big Star Trek standee. I fucking love it. I went to another theater in an effort to get back into projection. But at the time, I was also making like $13 an hour as a chef. And what do you call it? I mean, as a chef. Anyway. I was making more money cooking. Let's put it to you like that. I'm on the hunt, I'm after you. I drink when I talk, I stumble and fall. I'm on the hunt, I'm after ye. Alright, so I think that's going to go ahead and wrap this particular episode up. I hope you enjoyed yourself. I hope you learned some things. And I hope you use those things against other people in life. Remember, as they say, do it. Oh, wait, that's not what they say. What do they say? Grab dat gem. That's what they say. That's what my Australian friends, who I've never actually met, say. Oh, terrible. I'm a terrible
terrible person. Anyway, the important thing to remember is that I do videos on YouTube for some weird reason. I don't know. Why not? I also do designs on Redbubble and Society 6, so you could check those out. That would be great. As always, this is a comedy podcast intended for the purposes of humor. Share the hell out of this show with people you think might like it, you know? That would mean a lot to me. Anyway, I hope you enjoy doing whatever it is that you got going on. I hope you're safe, and I hope you get to listen to more shows. Go back, listen to my old shows. I was on drugs then, still on drugs now. All right. I'll probably never see you, like, ever. But maybe, but probably not. However, I will speak to you again in the future from the past. All right, folks, for the record, fucking feel terrible, but something that cheers me up sometimes is music. And there's a little man, tiny little man. He's a little man. He's okay. His name is Steve Lacy, and he did this song that I want to play for you. I have nothing to do with this song, and I'll put in a link to the show where this is from. The Fantastic Cast. But it's a song about Dr. Doom. I'll see y'all in a couple weeks or whatever.
Liberia. Yeah, you can all thank me. Took a nation of gypsies, made it all about me. My portrait is everywhere, as you well can see. You're welcome from my own nation. I'm the only Liberian the four don't wanna see. They accept I'm a genius, on this we agree. There I'm done, I'm the one, and you are free to know of my reputation. And do you know who the fuck I am? Yes, do you know who the fuck I am? Do you know who the fuck I am? I am Mr. Fantastic, defeating Victor fucking Von Doom. Hard for your master, or face your demise. And our nation will grow strong, wealthy and wise. My Doombots give you freedom, they stamp out those lies. And my magnificence grows alright. Reed Richards protests at the border all night. He whines and debates and expects a reply, as I stay up late with a plan, a plot or a scheme, but my magnificence grows alright. And do you know who the fuck I am? Yes, do you know who the fuck I am? Do you know who the fuck I am? I'll face assembled heroes and still kick their ass for King Von Doom. The hitch in my stride is my mother in hell, who I could not find. I scar my visage trying to reach her side, destroyed by my immolation. So I play my monarch's role with pride. I am feared in the world, and the world will be mine. Christoph, my sins may be magnified, but I do it all again, no hesitation. Do you know who the fuck I am?
Yeah,
do you know who the fuck I am? Do you know who the fuck I am? I am Mr. Fantastic, defeating Victor Fucking Baldoo.
Who the fuck I am?
Who the fuck I am?
Who the fuck I am?
I am Mr. Fantastic, defeating Mindswarm in a faceplate, wearing Death Wish, a harpsichord, playing Dr. Motherfucking Doom.